go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
Yes, and I am Nashville's own Benjamin Garst Boland.
Garst?
Yep.
I didn't know that about
that
you.
That is my middle name.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's a different world out there.
Garst. So, yeah. Okay. Interesting. Is that a family name?
Probably. No, okay. I'm kidding. It is.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe a better question is, why have I decided to go kind of formal? What happened to the Ben Boland we used to know and love?
Yeah. You do wear that snazzy hat.
Yeah. Well.
Sometimes a tie.
Sometimes a tie, that's right. Scott, I realize that I am growing up. I am an aging driver.
Oh, well, what a coincidence.
Is it?
Yes, it is. And imagine that happening right here on our podcast because, get this, I read a report this week that said something about how America's population is aging. Obviously, so are its drivers. And, you know, with it comes some really interesting statistics along the way and stuff that I thought maybe, you know, it might not be a long podcast, but it may be something that we want to talk about. Just get some of these numbers out here. And more than anything, what I'm looking for in this one, I think, is reader response.
Yes.
Listener response, I should say. Because, you know, we get feedback on this stuff. And recently we did one about driving age. Was it too young?
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of the other side of that one. This is the elderly drivers, and when are you too old maybe to drive? And I know that's sensitive for a lot of people. And
sure.
It's particularly sensitive for me right now.
Oh yeah, why is that?
Well, I have aging grandparents. I have I have three living grandparents still. One of which is not a factor because she has never driven her entire life.
Oh yeah,
not one foot as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's you know the family lives locally, takes her to the grocery store, things like that. However, the grandparents on my father's side, they are in their late 80s. Mm-hmm. My grandfather will be 89, still driving.
Wow.
Is licensed to drive, has passed all the tests and everything. I think his license is good until next year, next year in March. And at that point, I just don't know if the vision is going to allow him to do it.
Right, because macular degeneration specifically is so common. Mm-hmm. After a certain age threshold.
Exactly. My grandmother has that. Mm-hmm. And, that was the reason that she had to quit driving. And she actually absolutely loved to drive, which is really sad.
Yeah.
Just couldn't pass the test any longer. My grandfather, you know, they're both still very mentally acute, very with it.
Yeah.
Physically, very good shape, both of them. Mm-hmm. Excellent shape, I would say. But the problem is just the vision is gone away, and that's a critical part of this. And, you know, here are people that have been driving their entire life since the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
And, they've got just loads of experience, but, you know, and the skill to do it, it's just the vision is going away, and that's the issue there.
Well, first we should probably say, congratulations. I mean, you say they're physically fit.
Yes.
What you have to be to make it to that age. Mm-hmm. And, What an amazing thing, first off, also for your daughter to be able to meet your family.
A
lot of people, don't get that chance.
I knew both sets of my great grandparents as well. They lived late into my life.
It must be in the genes,
yeah,
man.
Southern family started a little early.
Oh, wow.
Similar, you know. No, I mean, not to be, you know, glib about it or whatever, but I mean, it was like, you know, it was like, kids having kids at 18 years old, 20 years old, you know, that type of thing. And that's just what happened. And, you know, early marriages, early birth. I'm the oldest, so that's the way it worked out.
Well, also, you know, different people are having children later, too.
Correct.
Let's be honest. There is a demographic shift.
Yeah, definitely.
Although that was a very funny joke.
Definitely.
And let's go, if we could, let's build off some demographic shifts.
Yeah.
Why is it important to talk about elderly drivers?
Well, because here's what's going on right now in the United States. We've got the baby boomers, right?
Yes, sir.
And all of baby boomers are getting to the age where they're you know, in the retirement age, kind of, you know, in that ballpark now. I know that keeps getting stretched out, but
yeah.
There's a recent study out, and this is from let's see, who brought this out?
Is this the National Highway one?
Yeah, that's right. It comes from the National Transportation Safety Board, so the NTSB.
Okay.
And they say that, I'm going to quote here from the article. 1 in 5 licensed drivers will be 65 or older by 2025, and that number will nearly double to 57 million in 2030. That's according to the Government Accountability Office. So they know the age of the average or the age of the drivers right now and what will happen.
Right. And what's that projected on? That's projected on the census. That's projected on a couple of other very well-researched statistics. I mean, I guess what we should emphasize here is that this is not a shot from the hip wild guess.
Mm-mm, no, this is very accurate numbers, and they know that this is going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Just not that far down the road. I mean, we're talking about, how far is that away? 2025. That's 15 years away from now, right?
Of years.
That's not that long. And I know I've seen news stories about them talking about, increasing font size on signs.
Yes.
They're talking about making signs bolder, more, you know, easier to read, more reflective, more print on the road. You know how they have signs on the road that indicate, you know, which direction goes where, brighter stoplights, things like that. You know, they've talked about a lot of different things to make it a little bit easier for elderly drivers or aging drivers at this point. I wouldn't say elderly, but aging.
Aging
is a fair way to say that.
Right. And you already mentioned one of the big ones here, that it's 20%, projected to be 20% of our driving population will be aging or elderly drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually a trend that we see accelerating in some other developed countries, where there's especially a graying cycle, I guess you would call it, in a lot of places in Japan or Western Europe. The population itself is trending toward an older population.
That's right. And these older people that have been driving their whole life, they're simply just hanging on to their driver's licenses longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where in the past, maybe, you know, there was a certain point where they just didn't need to anymore. You're talking about like small town USA a long time ago when, you know, a lot of things were accessible via foot. You know, you could walk down to the corner store and pick up whatever you need.
Mm-hmm.
You would use the truck, you know, to head down to, you know, out to the farm to pick up whatever you needed to, or,
get a ride to the train station to visit the city.
Go to the market and get the fresh fruit and vegetables and things like that. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, now we're talking about a culture of society where we have to have our cars. I mean, it really, the cities just aren't set up the same way that they used to be.
Yeah.
And that everybody does need, we've talked about that many times, I know, that, you know, you just can't do it. It's just not possible, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult, anyways.
And the vast majority of aging people in the United States do not have access to mass transit.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, also, let's see. I've got a pretty cool statistic here. You want to play with some numbers?
I do.
Great. Because otherwise I was going to have to wing it.
No, I don't.
Okay. So it's too late.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Federal Highway Administration has published this pretty neat thing with the average annual miles per driver by age group, right?
Mm. Okay.
Okay. So, people in our age group, you and I, on average, drive somewhere between a little under 18,000 and a little under 19,000 miles per year, being males, 20 to 54. And once you get to the age range of 64 to 65 plus, the average male drives only 10,300 miles.
Wow.
And you can see the shift, it begins sooner and is even more precipitous in female drivers. A 35 to 54 year old woman in the United States is driving an average of 11,400 something miles a year. A 55 to 64 year old average woman, is driving only 7,700 miles. And then by the time it's over 65, the average female citizen is driving 4,700 miles.
Hmm.
And here's the weird thing. People have found that, men in this country on average, drive about 6 years after, keep their license, I think is the way they phrase it.
Yeah.
6 years after they can safely drive.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Women, will, because of the differences in aging here, you know, women tend to have a longer lifespan in the U.S., that number extends to 10 years after it's safe to drive.
Really?
But also they point out that, there is a higher tendency for aging female drivers to give up a license earlier than a male driver.
To give it up voluntarily.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Now that's what my grandmother did. She gave up hers voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather, he's still getting tested. You know, they have to go through the, I guess it's a 2-year test at that point.
Right.
At a certain age. So he knows that, you know, in March he's due to go back, and I don't think it looks good that he's going to pass it, but, I'm hoping for his sake he will. He can still do it. I mean, he knows that, you know, he shouldn't be on the road at night. He isn't on the road at night. He knows his limits. And, he's being safe about it. He stays local where he knows, you know, knows the streets. He doesn't have to rely on reading the street signs to know where he's going because he's not going that far.
Sure.
He's just making a run around the small town that he lives in Indiana.
No great road trips.
Right? No, nothing like that. I mean, there may be an occasion where he has to go to a distant city or something, but that's sure.
That's a daytime drive.
Yeah, exactly. Daytime drive. And they make sure that the weather's going to be good and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of different concerns that they've got about driving that, you know, they didn't have 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Very, very big weather concerns. You know, always watching the weather and making sure they're not going to be on the road after even dusk. So just, you know, general, I guess, precautionary type driving.
Let's talk about these precautions because I was surprised how closely this parallels some of the earlier findings.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I was going to say findings, but then I was going to say found. I can't say the findings we found.
The foundings.
The foundings we finded. we looked into some stuff by some experts in our podcast on the beginning driving age.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we found here, what I found is, and I hope you found as well, Scott, was that the similarities between older drivers and younger drivers are, remarkable, and some of them are chilling. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a higher tendency toward accidents.
Yeah.
There is a higher, I'm sure they're not the same in DUI convictions, but there is a definite, risk of having a crash at an intersection.
Mm-hmm.
For drivers over 80, 58% of crashes are in intersections, I think.
Really? Whoa. Yeah. That's a high percent. That's, I wonder what that has to do with, I mean, there's a lot going on in an intersection. You got to read the traffic. You got to be able to see, I'd say, a good distance. I mean, maybe it's just somebody pulling in front of another car that they didn't see coming.
Yeah, and it might not even be, let's keep in mind from the way that statistic is written, it may not even be the aging driver's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It may be something where if their reaction time was a little bit faster, they could have avoided and being involved in an accident.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they were just rear-ended or something.
Could be.
And
could be.
So the one thing that I really want to harp on here, now we're talking about your grandparents who do not live in Iowa.
No.
I'm pretty good, huh?
Yeah, pretty good.
I only had an amazing odd of getting that right.
Yeah.
Okay. So in Iowa, there's some great examples of, taking the graduated license and permit programs that we see applied to teenagers. And if you have any questions about those, please check out our earlier podcast.
Will do.
And,
are you talking to me?
Well, that's like at the end of the car commercial, the guy who talks really quickly.
Oh, it's your disclaimer.
That's my disclaimer voice, yes. Okay, so Scott, if you are over the age of 70 in Iowa, you can only receive a 2-year license. And that's if everything goes well. Every time you get a license renewal, you have to take a vision test. That's part of it. Because as we've implied earlier, vision is the primary danger for a lot of aging drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a progressive degenerative disease, you know, if you have Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, you could still get a license, but you may get a shorter term license.
I see. Come back for renewal sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Here's where it gets a little bit uncomfortable for some people. If someone in your town, you live in any town, Iowa, right? Hypothetically. Mm-hmm. So if someone in your town, a authority like a doctor, police officer, or even just a member of your family, files a request with the transportation department, if the department agrees, they can demand that you retake the test at any time.
Wow. Okay.
So even before your 2 years are up. And then, if you pass the test, they can still impose certain restrictions. This is where it's graduated, right? Like, you know, if you get your license when you're 15 in some states, you can't drive between certain hours. You can only have certain people in the car, yada, yada, yada.
Very limited license.
Yes. The exact same thing, different restrictions, but the same concept occurs in elderly licensees in Iowa because you can, for instance, not be allowed to drive when you have when it requires headlights for the weather or the time of day. You can also be restricted to certain speed limit or the, I think, yeah, even the radius.
Wow. This is all new to me. I hadn't heard how restrictive that was in Iowa. But I wonder if other, you know, states are following suit. I would think so, because I know that Indiana, where my grandparents are licensed, that's a 2-year renewal. Mm-hmm. At least at his age. I don't know if there's a, you know, a different set of parameters for younger drivers. I would think, I don't know, 2 years seems about right.
Yeah, but
for everybody.
Also, this, yeah, 2 years seems right. I think 2 years is a good solid number. But when it comes to restrictions and the testing, you know, I agree with people who believe there's no silver bullet for it because when you are at that stage in life, you are reaping the benefits, whatever those benefits may be, of the way you took care of yourself earlier in life.
Yeah.
So I think it's completely possible for someone to be lucid and physically fit and maybe have vision that's good enough for them to drive.
What about varying skill levels too? I mean,
that's
that's all there too. I mean, Mario Andretti, he's getting older. Who's going to be the one to tell Mario Andretti that he can't renew his license? Not me either, but you know, somebody else who maybe wasn't such a good driver throughout their life. And, you know, maybe they're ready to pack it up when they're 60, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, some people right now, I'd swear, you know, 30, they're ready to pack it up.
Well, yeah, they just moved to New York.
I've totaled, you know, not me, but you hear somebody say, I've totaled 6 cars in my driving career. You're like, well, you're 35. How's that happen? I mean, how are you still making it? You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, someone like that trying to drive when they're 70, 75, 80, that kind of scares me a little bit.
It can be scary stuff.
Yeah.
There's a little hope at the end of the, day though.
What's that?
I don't know if you're familiar with studies that say, different kinds of cognitive exercise can, you know, prevent the, or slow the onset of certain types of dementia.
Yeah.
You know, your brain's another muscle, right?
Sure.
It's a truism, but only because it's true.
And so see those puzzles, right?
Yeah.
All the brain games, those type of things.
Personal disclosure, not a fan of Sudoku.
No.
It's just not my bag, but I understand it has some benefits. there have been some studies done, one particularly by Adrian Owen at the University of Cambridge, where he took 11,000 people, and he said that I'm gonna give these people some different brain teasing games, and we'll see if they improve their thinking skills. Yeah. They kind of did, but not outside of the game. So they got a lot of people that were, you know, really good at, I don't know, virtual crosswords, but did that knowledge carry over to other parts of their lives, specifically for the purpose of this podcast, being able to drive without crashing.
That seems almost impossible to determine.
It does, but there is a, there's a current debate because other studies have contradicted this and found that it depends on the type of brain teasing game they play.
Hmm.
Like, for instance, let's see, we're going back in the numbers here. This different study found that, they gave a population exposed them to 3 different things. One was exposed to something to get you to practice reaction speed and reasoning skills. Another to improve your memory. The third group, being the control, had nothing at all. These folks,
Yeah.
So the folks who
that's sorry. Not very nice.
I know. they had no training. Sorry.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Okay. So the ones that have that study reaction speed and reasoning skills, they showed reduced accidents of 50%. And these people were tracked for 6 years after the
reduced test. By 50%?
50%.
That's pretty impressive.
I thought that was pretty. That speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
The people who had no training, 18% of them had at least one crash. The people who had memory course training, 16% of them had at least one crash. So it seems like there's some evidence that says we can prepare when, you know, when we get to a certain point in physical age, there are mental exercises that we can do in addition to physical exercises, because I know everybody who listens to our show is taking care of themselves, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. just throw in a couple of extra special tests, and it might be worth your time.
Well, there are video games and all kinds of things that are for this type of thing to prevent, you know, kind of getting the cobwebs to grow in the skull there, because I know that I don't know the names of them, Brain Academy, things like that. Mm-hmm. My wife plays some of these games, and she's a much quicker thinker than I am. She's a little, well, she is. I mean, just a little faster on her feet, you know, and that's got to be. I'm more, a little more deliberate about what I say, you know, careful about it. But she's quick, and you know, usually, as she'll tell me, she's usually right.
Wow.
Didn't expect all that, did you?
That's an endorsement.
But what I'm
friend.
Saying is, like, you know, the earlier you start on that type of stuff, the more fit supposedly your brain will be. So, you know, it mm-hmm. pays to do it early.
Sure.
It really does. It really works.
Think of it like an investment with no overhead other than time.
Lots of time.
Oh, I should have done that voice again, other than time.
Yeah, that's good. No, you're
it
right.
was all right. All right. I'm getting a start on it. So,
well, you know, one thing I gotta say this, because I don't know if there's really a solution to this, because it's all in the way. I mean, everybody's got their own opinion about how long they can continue to drive, and of course,
right.
people will want to hang on to that because it's a major, mm-hmm. major freedom.
Yes.
Once you give that up, there's consequences of that.
Yeah.
Big consequences. So, I mean, I don't know a solution. I'm asking, is there one? Is there a fair way to do this? And that, you know, because everybody's different. I mean, mm-hmm. the testing thing, that's one thing we talked about, and just everybody's individual abilities. I think that's about the only way to do this. If you know, some listeners out there got any other ideas,
mm-hmm.
That they'd like to pose to us, and we can, you know, mention those on air. And just send them in, because, you know, we'd be interested to hear them and maybe read them on our program.
And just to show you guys how much we enjoy reading listener mail.
Yeah, we got some.
We've got some. Would you like to check it out?
I would love to. All right, Ben, here we got one from Gerardo. And Gerardo is from the internet.
Oh, hello.
Didn't tell us where, so the internet. Okay, here we go. Hi, guys. I just got done listening to the latest podcast. Which now won't be latest, but we're reading anyways. turns out that Ford did win in Le Mans, like we said. Well, of course we won. They said about the Ferrari, the closest place was an eighth place finish behind Ford in the GT40.
Wah, okay? Wah,
yeah,
wah.
I know. I thought it was a little sooner than that. All right, so he found this when he was digging a little bit deeper into this. He said he wanted to look up the history of what's really going on there. So I'm going to read this, and I'm not 100% sure the validity of some of this.
I have not heard this before.
I had neither until this point, so otherwise we would have brought this up during the podcast. But he said the negotiation – this is a quote, by the way, from wherever he grabbed this. It's an excerpt from somewhere. The negotiations started and this way back in 1963. We know that Ford never bought Ferrari, but do you know why? It says, I guess Henry Ford got a little greedy and monopolistic. He told Enzo Ferrari, who was to remain the sole operator of his Ferrari Motorsports division, that he wouldn't be allowed to race in the Indianapolis 500 if Henry Ford buys the company.
Oh.
So, okay. Enzo got apparently really furious at this point and said, no way, Ford, we're not going to do it. So, I don't know. It says it wasn't Enzo's fault, but Ford bit off more than allowed. I'm confused about this because I thought this was, you know, just the I'll show you from Ford move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't realize that there was this whole Indy 500 tie-in with Enzo and wanting to be there.
You know, I feel like this just goes back to confirm my earlier suspicions. Mm-hmm. About dealing with very influential, very important people,
mm-hmm.
I will just always assume they're vengeful and touchy. I won't ever say that.
They'll blow these, you know, $100 million deals over pride.
Just very nice, very polite. Let us not forget that Henry Ford, that Gerardo and you and I are talking about, mm-hmm. is the son of the guy who ripped a car apart with his bare hands.
Correct.
So we're just going to leave it at that.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. And no, seriously, this is. New to me. I just hadn't heard this angle with Enzo and the Indy 500 thing. So,
yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I'm gonna definitely dig into it a little bit more. But we get notes like this all the time, and mm-hmm. it kind of raises my eyebrows. And I think, wait, what's this angle? here. So,
so we have to get out of here, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, thanks, Gerardo, for writing in, by the
way. Yes, yes. Thank you so much for writing in, especially with something we had not heard before.
Yeah, I always like that.
We're going to dig around. We're going to see what we can find out. In the meantime, guys, please don't forget our question for this podcast is, do you think there is a solution to the elderly driving conundrum?
Yeah, it is a conundrum. There's a situation that's about to happen in about 15 years, and that's going to happen sooner than most people think. I mean, it's coming.
It's like a finger snap right there.
Yeah, it is.
So do we have enough time to try to lessen the coming impact of the baby boomers entering the aging driving status? You can tell us about this on Facebook, Car Stuff, predictably enough. You can tell us on Twitter, Car Stuff, HSW.
Correct.
Our blog on How Stuff Works. Our iPhone app as well, which you have probably heard about. It's free, and we're all over it. We're all in the business there. And you can cut out the middleman if you'd like and send us an email directly.
Directly?
Directly.
That's all right. I'll take it from there. It goes, let's see, it's carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The How Stuff Works iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.